Welcome to BobbyCast number 218. This is our kind of last Friday BobbyCast of the year. This is the 10 most unforgettable country music moments of the 2010s.
Oh.
Which would be fun.
Good and bad, or mostly
just
good?
Both.
Okay.
Because when you hear number one, you'll be like, oh.
Yeah.
So after this, I'll say this, though, as I was kind of thinking of this year, the biggest moment musically has been that freaking Old Town Road.
That was a big moment.
I've never seen a song do that before. It became viral from TikTok. I got pulled into the mix.
You did early.
Before it was even a real thing, because, and just by happenstance, I just happened to be in New York. And they're like, hey, they're going to put this Old Town Road song on the country chart. And is it country? Guys, I hadn't even heard the song yet. And I was like, well, and so I listened to it on the way to Good Morning America. I was up there anyway to do GMA for maybe Idol or something. I'm not sure why I was up there.
What was your first thought when you heard it?
That people need to shut up about what's defined as anything. I'm just always irritated when people try to say what's not something.
Mm-hmm.
People spend so much time talking about what they don't like that it just creates a negative culture.
That's true. But this is probably going to go on forever, Bones. It's happened forever.
And it has gone on forever, and it will. But they were like, hey, people are saying it's not a country song.
No, it's ridiculous.
Where if they'd have positioned it different and said, hey, listen to the song. I'm going to tell you what format it is. Tell me what it is. I don't know what I would have said. I probably wouldn't have said country.
But you heard it before Billy Ray. You heard it when it was just Lil Nas X.
Oh, that's true, because we came on and we're like, here's the Billy Ray version.
Yep.
Yeah, and that song just blew up like, and it was the number one song for almost a whole year.
Yeah.
Whenever it did, it set the record. When I was thinking about this year, that's what I was thinking about to music. But I have the most unforgettable country music moments of the decade. Number 10, and I'll tell you, we've talked about this on this podcast a lot, but Chris Stapleton's 2015 CMA Awards, where him and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Did Tennessee Whiskey.
And he won a lot of awards that year.
Doesn't matter. This performance is what cemented him as he's now Chris Stapleton. That's the whole deal. And we were so lucky, and it was lucky, because we'd had him on the show before a bunch, and it wasn't like we were jumping on the bandwagon. When everybody else was like, we're now Chris Stapleton fans, come on our show. And Chris is a private guy, doesn't do a lot of appearances. But it was always cool because Chris was always like, dude, you put me on before everybody was wanting to put me on. So he would keep coming on the show.
Yeah. But isn't it cool to discover artists a little early before everyone else does? Because you were on to Chris and his bands before Chris. I remember we were on the road somewhere, maybe in Florida, and you're just, hey, listen to this. Like, this is cool. There's a band called...
A couple of them.
Yeah, I remember. But when you played some of that, I'm like, ah, dude, that guy's really... Like, the voice is really good. It was Chris Stapleton. So that's kind of cool, right? To know that...
Because he was in rock bands.
Yes.
It wasn't just country. Well, so that was number 10. Chris Stapleton jumping on the scene. He did win. But again, a lot of people won awards, and they kind of... flutter around.
Yeah.
But it was that performance with Justin Timberlake that everybody talked about. My friend Robert Deaton, who produces that show, said within 10 minutes he could look at the time iTunes chart, and the song had blown up and number one and all. He was like, well, this is now here to stay.
It's awesome.
And they met because in one of these BobbyCasts, we talk about that,
mm-hmm.
maybe with Chris Stapleton, because we did one of these with Chris Stapleton, or somebody else told me, but he went, and Justin Timberlake was just a fan of his, and they only met like in Wyoming. At Justin Timberlake's birthday party.
I've heard the story. I wonder.
Mike, where did that come from?
I'm trying to remember. It was a songwriter.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, so that's number 10. Number 9 is Glenn Campbell fighting Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
He was already battling the disease when he went public in 2011 with it. He died 2 years ago. But here's some Glenn Campbell for you. Like a rhinestone cowboy. Did you watch his documentary?
Yeah.
It's good, huh?
Really good. Really, really good. I mean, I grew up, my parents would listen to Glenn Campbell, and I didn't know anything about him other than he was Glenn Campbell, Rhinestone Cowboy, Wichita Lineman, all that stuff. But I didn't know that he was a session player and how important he was to just studio music.
Before he was a country music artist, he was the extremely skilled guitar player.
Yep.
That played on everybody's record.
Yep.
And then...
I had no clue.
And he's from Arkansas, which is what I knew him as. It was... You know, Johnny Cash mostly, but Conway Twitty and Glenn Campbell were like my grandmother's Arkansas mm-hmm. people.
And he has a daughter named Ashley Campbell. Do you know who mm-hmm. she is? She's a good banjo player. She's really cool to just check out because you can tell the music ran in the family.
Yeah. I think one point, before I step in it here.
Also, it was Mike Dungan who told that story.
Oh, it was Mike Dungan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great podcast. I'm looking up something real quick.
What are you looking up?
No, I probably shouldn't say this out loud.
It worries me, whatever you're looking
at. I'll tell you after.
Oh, great. Okay, good. You're ridiculous.
I know. Number eight, George Strait rides away from the road in 2012. Cowboy yes. Rides Away was his farewell tour.
But was it?
Yeah, because he still plays Vegas, but he doesn't tour.
Oh, that's true. It is just Vegas, and we've been to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and the Cowboy Stadium, right? Didn't he wrap it up there?
See, I don't remember.
I think so.
Yeah.
They shot a whole DVD.
A big show.
Yeah. Garth Brooks returns that in 2014, huge. And we were a part of this.
Yep.
Because we were here in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
God dang, we've been here for almost a whole decade.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And with Garth coming back, I don't know if you... I guess he was saying it for a while that he was waiting for his daughter, his last daughter, to go to high school
yes.
or go to college, and then he was going to get back to music. But I didn't think it was ever really going to happen.
He retired in 2000 to raise his daughters. And you know what? He didn't come back as a legacy act. At first, people were like, oh,
yeah, good call.
Old Garth is back. But he came back retouring huge places, putting out new
putting
music.
Out singles.
Had number ones. It's so hard, too, because I've heard people like Rascal Flatts talk about it, where they go, you know what? We don't have to just make good music. We have to make songs that are better than our biggest songs ever. Because
right.
if you're going to pick a song to play, why would you not play God Bless the Broken Road instead of a new Rascal Flatts ballad? Mm-hmm. So with Garth, he had to make songs at least somewhat near as good as his old stuff.
Did he come back with this song?
I think he had a couple before this, yeah.
His first one, because he put out a record that wasn't a big hit at
yes.
first. It's when he had that little necklace thing
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's right, that's
Man
right.
Versus Machine.
Yeah. That's number seven. Number six of the decade, Joey of Joey and Rory battles stage four cancer. She was diagnosed with cervical cancer and died 2 years later at age 40. That was a bit, as far as like us getting here, I didn't know
Early.
Them.
I didn't know them either.
Because I think she died, I don't know when she, but yeah, I didn't know them. Because we got here in 2013.
I think we learned about them after all that, but no, I didn't know them before that.
Number five is Troy Gentry dies in a helicopter crash.
Oof.
Crazy.
Was it the same day that Don Williams died?
I don't know if it's the same day, but this was September of 2017 when he accepted that helicopter ride. And
gosh.
Yeah, that was a bad one from Montgomery Gentry.
Yep.
Number four, Taylor Swift leaves country music in 2014. So that's one of the biggest country music of the decade. Taylor, to me, I knew her from country music before I got here. She came into a couple appearances here.
Yeah.
We had our brief friendship.
She was available.
And then she fell out.
She was like, it's weird. When we moved to Nashville, she was here. Like, I remember our first week we were here in Nashville. I went to go see Florida Georgia Line downtown, and she popped up on stage to sing Cruise with him. It was like that. And I guess, oh, that was the norm. Like, we're in Nashville. Taylor's always here, and this is what she does. Then after that.
Gone.
Poof, gone.
Then you see her driving in a car, apparently driving like a...
you make fun of me, but I did. I saw her. It was in my rearview mirror, and I saw her.
And what kind of car was she driving?
That's like a Toyota something.
Yeah,
like
of course. Yeah, because that's what Taylor drives, by herself, driving a Toyota.
She's a normal person, man. Uh-huh. Just like you and me.
She is not. Number three, Randy Travis gets arrested, suffers a stroke, and continues to recover. Randy had big troubles in 2012 when he was arrested twice for alcohol-related incidents. The next year, he had a stroke that left him partially paralyzed. He's still continuing to recover. But Randy Travis at number three, we weren't really in this story because we had it in 2013.
Yeah.
2012 is when it happened. But that being said, I was a huge Randy Travis fan.
Yeah, me too.
Tomato Gate in 2015. If you're not familiar, a consultant tried to explain the lack of female country artists on the chart by saying they're the tomato in the salad with males, the lettuce. At the very least, it ignited a conversation. I feel like people that held on to that tomato thing were a little lame.
You had to remind me of what that was because yeah. I don't remember the tomato thing.
Because there obviously is an issue, but the tomato thing, years later, they're still going like, let's have Tomato Fest. I'm like, guys, just drop the stupid tomato thing. Like, no one's going to take you seriously if you keep bringing up some dumb consultant who wrote something kind of in jest.
Yeah.
Because I agreed, not with him, but with everyone else that was going, hey, okay, if it seems like this, there's a problem. I think his analogy was probably accurate.
Sure.
But it was just how dopey the analogy was.
Yeah. And how everyone ran with it.
And number one was the Route 91 massacre.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that was a rough one for everyone. That was a rough one. I mean, the hardest thing that we've had to do on the show, I mean, we came back. Eddie and I played that festival this weekend, the mm-hmm. night before this happened.
Saturday night, yeah.
And it happened on Sunday. And then we came back, and I got in bed, and then that's when everybody started texting me going, are you here? And then we just came on the show, and we didn't know what was happening. We just jumped on live as all the stuff is still pretty much coming to an end. People are still running around. Vegas put us on live at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
They just turned the satellite and were like, we're going to take the East Coast feed. A lot of artists came by all week.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tears in the studio that week.
Mm-hmm. One of the coolest things that happened recently was the day after when we brought all these artists in, and I'd never talked about this before, but I just kept thinking of us playing that stage. And I remember when we play, I look at the crowd and I just remember people, certain people that are in the crowd. And I remember a little girl sitting on top of someone's, maybe her mom's shoulders. And I just kept thinking like, oh my gosh, like what if she was there? What if she was one of the injured? And you know, it's just that kind of thing that just brought it home to me. And I always thought about her, this little girl. Well, when we were playing in Vegas, not too long ago, I guess about a month ago, she showed up to the meet and greet. And she said, I'm the little girl with a sign on the shoulder. It's like, oh my gosh, it just brought it full circle. And I'm kind of getting choked up just thinking about it. It's like, I thought about you all the time and hoping that you were okay. Just one little person that I remember from that show. But man, that was hard. Yeah, hard for a lot of us.
And it was, in comparison, not that hard for us. It was really hard for us.
Correct.
For the people who are actually dealing with it firsthand.
Yep.
I remember seeing in the newspaper, there was a kid who went, and in his obituary listed that he went because he's going to watch The Raging Idiots.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to the family and that was a tough one.
And I remember too, Brothers Osborne talking about just using the word family a lot in them describing like country music is a family. And when you mess with a family member, like what happened that night, everyone gets really emotional, even people that weren't even there. It's pretty amazing. And when just the days that follow that on our show is pretty amazing.
By the way, this whole list that I'm reading here is from The Boot. The 10 most unforgettable country music moments of the 2010s. And the Route 91 tragedy was number one. But you know what? Nothing was ever done about it.
Mm-mm.
You know?
But in that, do you feel like that was a good thing?
I'm talking about with guns?
I meant moving on from it.
Oh.
You know, I feel like a lot of times we kind of do the whole let's not forget kind of thing. But not the gun thing. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that was my point. That was the biggest massacre and nothing was done. Nothing's ever done.
I know.
That's
upsetting, I know.
Rinse, repeat.
Yep.
And I have guns. And I'm like, we got to chill with the effing guns.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening here? When you asked, are they all good? Only like half of them were good.
Yeah.
It was just the biggest. And shout out to The Boot again for putting that list up. As we end the year here, I can give you some music news. Tekashi 6ix9ine was only sentenced to 2 years in prison. He's the dude with 69 tattooed on his face.
You use the word only.
Yeah, because they were like he's going to be in jail the rest of his life, right, Mike, for a lot of that?
Well, at least like 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because he was snitched on everybody. And so he got far, 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 far less time.
Wow.
He was sentenced to 2 years in prison after pleading guilty to 9 felonies. Do you have any of his music?
I mean, you can't really play any of it. It's so hard.
Yeah, it's like hardcore rock rap is what it sounds like. Like to me.
It sounds like what he looks like.
He'll also get credit for 13 months served, so that means he's on track to be released sometime late next year, so he already gets a year. He has 11 months basically to do.
Hey, snitches get stitches though. Like, is he scared to get out?
He says he's not, right, Mike?
No.
It's hard to put that guy in a free location. He got 69 tattooed all over his face.
What's your name? All that?
Clint.
He's okay. Got
69 all over him. Selena Gomez once soiled herself at an Ed Sheeran concert.
Is that real?
It's hot.
Really?
No. Selena Gomez admits she soiled herself at an Ed Sheeran concert because she didn't want to leave. She just covered herself with a sweater and made it through the rest of the show.
Oh, wow.
As someone who's once pooped on himself before, you can't do that. It smells really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's completely super. Maybe it was like a little one.
Well, I know people that go to festivals do that.
I think it was a hybrid.
Oh, yeah. That I can understand trying to hang around for a little bit. It's a hybrid.
Hybrid. It's disgusting.
Garth Brooks has the top country tour of 2019, according to Pollstar. As we talk about Garth not being a legacy act. Number 10, Luke Combs. Wow, Luke Combs already in the top 10. Number 9, Chris Stapleton. George Strait at 8. This is the Vegas shows.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Bryan at 7.
Yeah.
Zach Brown at 6. Thomas Rhett at 5. Carrie Underwood at 4. Florida Georgia Line at 3, Eric Church at 2, and the number one tour was Garth Brooks. best concert you went to in 2019?
See, I might be cheating on this one, but I would say the CMA Awards.
Cheating. That doesn't count.
Because, I mean, that is the best
concert.
That doesn't count.
I would say the Raging Idiots Million Dollar Show then, because that was even more fun.
That is, you're right.
The music
even
didn't
better.
Stop, and at the end, Luke Bryan and Gavin DeGraw and Coastal Dell and us, and we're all singing Sweet Caroline and Stand By Me.
Yep. Okay, let's do that one then. Is that your favorite?
No, we have to actually think of one. Concerts are tough because I don't get to go to many of
That's
them.
That's right.
Because we're on the road a lot on the weekends. And if it's here in town, you're kind of like, I see music all the time, unless it's somebody really good.
It's hard. Like, the other day I went to go see Ryan Hurd, and I told him, like, dude, that's the first time I've ever seen you live. And we've known Ryan for a few years. Mm-hmm. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, we don't get out to see shows a lot. To think about that one, Bones.
What concerts have I even been to this year? Where I got a ticket and just went.
And enjoyed it. Was Eagles this
I
year?
I saw the Eagles, yeah.
Is that us?
We went to the Eagles.
That was pretty cool.
Pretty good.
What else have we seen?
Were you just going like, I'm making a night of it. Let's go to a show.
I feel like I went to the Ryman for a show recently.
I went to the Ryman and saw Sweet Pea, Amos Lee.
Oh,
he was sick.
Yeah.
He was sick.
That's
and he was trying to sing in a blown out voice. I saw Casey Musgraves at the Ryman.
Oh, that had to been cool.
It was really good.
Man, Bones, I can't think of...
Mine might be Casey Musgraves at the Ryman.
Like I said, just recently I saw the Ryan Hurd thing, but I got to see Michael Ray. I got to see Blanco Brown.
Oh, it was a radio station concert.
It was a radio station concert, and literally I was right in the front row because I never get to do that. Enjoying it with everyone. The whole B team was there. We were having fun. So I guess that was it. I mean, because, yeah, you're right. We don't get to do this stuff very much.
I'm looking at the list. I'm going to go Casey Musgraves at the Ryman. Mike, can you think of any other concerts I've been to?
I mean, you just went to Brett Eldridge.
Oh!
The Christmas show? That was real good.
You didn't really talk about that. Was it really awesome?
Uh-huh. He sings all the Christmas songs.
Had the whole orchestra thing there. Dun, dun. Mm. Big band, stylish.
He had the boxes. You know how the...
Yeah.
Like Brian said, the orchestra, they all sit in like the little box and play their horns.
Yes.
This year you went to Vegas to see Brooks and Dunn?
I did go see Brooks and Dunn and Reba. That was a great one. Because it was all hits.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. Dang, that's a good one. Yeah, Casey, Brooks and Dunn, Reba was good. We have so much in here.
I know.
We did this other, and I encourage you to go check out the songwriter demos that we did on this podcast. I just wanted to kind of leave with this because people love when we bring these demos to this music podcast. And so go back and listen to the songwriters sing the demos for the famous songs. It's a couple episodes back. But what we have is some major pop songs. I wanted to put them in this episode here. Some of these were sang by other artists. Some are acoustic rough demos. One of them was one of the biggest songs of all time. Had an entirely different name.
Really?
We'll do this one. So there's a song called Starlight back in the day. Do you know about Starlight?
Uh-uh.
By Michael Jackson?
Uh-uh.
It later was Thriller.
Oh, what?
It was called Starlight. Here's the demo. Give me the starlight.
That is awesome.
Give me the starlight.
And you know what? It would have been a great song, but it would have died a long time ago if it wasn't for the title change, Thriller. We play that every year because it's Halloween.
Well, because the music video was the monsters and zombies.
Right.
But I wonder...
Starlight, it would have just fallen like Billie Jean.
Unless it had been like National Astronomy Day.
Okay. Yeah, possibly.
That's interesting. Here's another one from Michael Jackson. This is Beat It, but this is by Michael Jackson, and he did it before he had the lyrics. This is a melody.
What is this?
It's him just doing the melody.
It sounds like Pentatonix. Beat it.
I have friends that are melody writers like Michael Jackson, and they'll do the whole song, and they'll go, and they'll put it over music, and then it's, okay, well, let's now find the words that fit with, I went down to a dog store, met you, and they'll insert it after that, like Michael Jackson did.
I do like that, because melody, like we've talked about this, melody to me is first. When I listen to music, that's good melody. And then I'll be like, what's the song about? Oh, didn't even realize.
Beyonce Halo, which was by, this is the song Halo, but Ryan Tedder of One Republic wrote it.
Yeah.
This is his version, the demo. It sounds like a One Republic song, doesn't it?
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. Jessie J wrote Party in the USA.
She did?
Mm-hmm. Which, she just broke up with Channing Tatum, huh?
Yeah.
Saw that.
Saw that. So, Jessie J. And then here is Jessie J, though. She did the demo.
And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on.
Do you know if she wrote it for Miley?
No, I don't think so.
Because, I mean, it's just perfectly a story for Miley.
There are probably some little...
Changes
like the Nashville party. Yeah. Some of that stuff is Miley. I think that's anybody's story going to L.A., though.
Yeah, but it was specific to her because she was an L.A. actress, but Nashville roots.
But I'm saying, that could have been anyone. If you just take Nashville party, if you put Topeka party.
Because even it wasn't party, it was like in the, what she says it at the end.
I think I'm going to like the USA. So it's about her.
Oh.
Because she's from the UK.
Boom.
I think I'm going to like the USA.
Good one, Mike D.
Oh, good catch there. Queen, Under Pressure, which you may know this.
Bowie?
Queen.
All right.
With Bowie. David Bowie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it originally was called Feel Like. Here's the Queen demo. The guy that came on our show the other day on the Bobby Bones show and sang like
Mark Martel.
Freddie Mercury. Yeah, real good, huh?
So good.
You know, take on me.
Yeah, aha. One hit wonder.
This was originally called the Juicy Fruit song.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here you go. Different.
Yeah, oh yeah, especially that chorus.
Charlie XCX actually did the demo for Selena Gomez, Same Old Love. This is Selena. Yeah. Here's Charlie XCX. Very similar.
Wow, very
you know Taylor Swift, Tim McGraw?
Yeah.
The song Tim McGraw. Here's the acoustic demo of that song.
When you think Tim McGraw. Hope you think my favorite song, the one we dance to all night long. The moon like a spotlight on the lake. When you think happiness, I hope you think that little black dress. Think my head on your chest and my old faded blue jeans. When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think me.
That's awesome.
A little different there.
Really cool.
End of the tag, but yeah. Finally, I'll do one more Weezer sweater song.
If you want to destroy my sweater. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Here's the demo by Weezer recorded in 1992, the kitchen tape demo session, which was named after the place to get the best sound for the drum kit during recording.
Nice.
And it's where the band rehearsed, too. Here you go. I sink. There you have it.
These are cool, man.
I kind of geek out of that stuff,
too.
Yeah.
I love hearing songs grow and how they started. And
check out Eddie on the Sore Losers podcast.
Yeah.
Sports podcast.
Yeah. Talking a lot of bowl games right now.
And or just guy talk, whatever. You should check out that show. And thanks for listening to the Bobbycast. We will have another new one that we're doing with Russell Dickerson and his wife, Kaylee Dickerson.
Yep.
And Russell got sick, but that should be coming up after this one. So
that's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, I think so, right? Because they work together. He's artist, the artist, she's the
manager
/ business
and wife.
That's creative.
Yeah. Thank you guys. We'll see you next time on the Bobbycast. Eddie, thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Bones.
And we'll see you guys. And follow us on Instagram at
The Bobbycast.
The Bobbycast.
Yep.
At The Bobbycast. All right. Bye, everybody.